The sky out the glass roof of her Vega gull was as crimson as the airplane. Beyond the windshield and the gray whirl of propeller, 10,000 tons of iron stood laced against the setting sun. Nanae called over the roar of the Gypsy 6 engine, "La Dame de Fer à son meilleur niveau!" That's the kind of art I love. To Dagobert, her sole passenger, who wagged his unkempt poodle tail as they circled the Eiffel Tower. The Iron Lady at her best. She flew on up the looping Seine, headed back to Paris for the Exposition Internationale du Surréalisme, 300 artworks depicting gigantic insects, bizarre floating heads, and dismembered or defiled bodies she knew were meant to be thought-provoking, but always left her feeling unsophisticated and far too American. Midwestern. Not even from Chicago, but from Evanston. She loosened the white silk scarf at her neck as she initiated a controlled descent from 1,000 feet to 800, 600, 5, to buzz her empty apartment on Avenue Foch. She loved Paris, if only its winter nights weren't so long, when you were 28 and living alone. She throttled back to idle and extended the flaps over the Bois de Boulogne, descending to 200 feet as she approached the park's lake, its small cascade and charming little emperor's kiosk. Up here in the air, there was no grumbling about Prime Minister Choton excluding socialists from the French government, no brother killing brother in Barcelona, no Hitler claiming to be eager for peace while all of Europe trembled. She dipped a wing for a better view, to see the trickle of water over rocks into frozen lake and, oh Lord, a span of black wings stretched to white feathered tips at 10 o'clock. A red bill opened in a call of warning inaudible over the engine as she slammed the throttle wide open and yanked back the yoke, snapping to the right and climbing to avoid crashing into the black swan already diving to avoid her. But the nose of the plane was rising too quickly. Vertical speed, 1,500 feet per minute. Through the windshield, nothing but sky. The airspeed indicator plummeting toward stall speed, the wings buffeting as the plane began to lose lift, the stall horn sounding its alarming blare. She pushed the yoke forward, rolling out of the turn, sending the nose dipping in an effort to recover from the stall. Dagobert tumbled forward as the altimeter unwound and the plane shot downward, the view now pure propeller and frozen lake. The ice. So little room to maneuver. Poor Dagobert whimpering. The airspeed indicator at 45 knots, fingers aching from her grip on the yoke. "It's okay, Dags." Her whole body tensed, about to splinter. 50 knots, 55. She willed the airspeed indicator to move faster so she could pull up again without stalling before she crashed into the ice. Faster, damn it! 60, 65. Pulling back on the yoke again, the pitch of the nose rising now, the attitude indicator moving toward level, so low she was nearly skimming the frozen lake. Her knuckles pale with her tight grip. But yes, she'd stopped the stall. She was flying straight and level. The airspeed indicator now at 70 knots. She retracted a notch of flaps, the plane sinking a little, and her stomach with it. She pulled back a bit more on the yoke, maintaining altitude. Dagobert looked up anxiously from the floorboard. Another notch of flaps. A little more on the yoke, initiating the climb out. 400 feet, 500,